problem that's ahead of me. After you eat, you can feel like it's time for a nap. So what I tell people is, either you will learn something tonight or you will wake up refreshed. But we did enjoy the meal, and it is good to be here. Appreciate the invitation to be a part of this tonight. A Sunday school teacher was teaching her class about heaven. We just sang about when we all get to heaven. So she was telling her class about heaven and how wonderful it was. And so she asked the class, "How many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hand." And they all raised their hand but Tim. "Tim, don't you want to go to heaven?" And Tim says, "Yeah, but I thought you were getting up a load right now." You see, the issue before us is we want to go to heaven later. We want to go to heaven someday, later on, after I've raised my family, after I have grandkids, after the grandkids are out of college, you know, later, after. Why aren't we anxious to go to heaven? We read about it, we preach about it, we have sermons about it, we sing songs about heaven. Reminded me some time ago, I heard a story, it's purely a story. A man went to a preacher and said, "I like to play golf. And I'm just wondering, are there any golf courses in heaven?" The preacher said, "Well, I'll have to meditate on that a while." A couple days later, he comes back to the man and he says, "Got good news and bad news. The good news is there are golf courses all over heaven. Beautiful weather, well-kept fairways, beautiful manicured greens, always available, you know, don't need a tea time, always available." And the guy says, "That's great. What's the bad news?" Says, "The bad news is you tee off at 9 in the morning." We want to go to heaven, but we don't want to tee off at 9 in the morning. And that's the problem that we're facing in today's world. Why aren't we anxious to go to heaven? The sermon this evening takes just two parts. Why aren't we anxious? And then why we ought to be anxious to go to heaven. We aren't anxious to go to heaven because we're trying to make heaven here on earth. Now, years ago, when our kids were at home and growing up, we enjoyed camping. Tent camping, and then we grew up to a pop-up trailer and then a travel trailer. And we lived in East Tennessee for some of that time, and 45 minutes we were in the Smoky Mountains. And it was wonderful, and we'd enjoyed it. But after about 4 days, I said, "Okay, it's time to go home." It was good to go to the campground, and we enjoyed it. But then we wanted to go home. Let me tell you what we've done. We've fallen in love with the campground. And I know there's a home waiting for me. I know there's that place called heaven. But I like it right here at the campground. There is a song we sometimes sing, "This earth is not my home. I'm just passing through." And we sing that song, but we've really fallen in love with the campground. We've really decided, "I want to stay here a little longer." What we need to be reminded of is this earth is temporary. This earth won't last. And if we hitch everything we have to here, then we're going to be disappointed. Peter wrote an extensive section in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 7. "The heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat, and the elements and the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. We need to be reminded that this earth isn't here forever. This isn't heaven. As much as we try to make it comfortable and peaceful, and we, you know, we have padded carpet in our living rooms and air conditioning and big color TVs, this earth isn't home. And somehow we need to be reminded that our home is waiting for us. Peter goes on in that chapter in 2 Peter 3 and verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening for the coming of the day of God, because of the heavens which will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. This earth is going to be gone. And all that we've tried to make plush and wonderful and comfortable is one day going to melt and dissolve and be gone. If you hitch your wagon to this star, it's not going to last. We're trying to make heaven here on earth. And as long as we're trying to make heaven here on earth, then we're not going to be anxious for heaven. Let me contrast two people mentioned in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, the Hebrew writer talks about Esau, who was a profane person and sold for one morsel of food his birthright. He traded off what would be his eternal right for a bowl of soup. I wonder if we've been guilty of that. I wonder if we're guilty of trading off the eternal so we can stay here. Contrast that with Hebrews 11 in verse 10, where the Hebrew writer talks about Abraham. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He knew he wasn't here forever. He knew wherever he went, wherever he pitched his tent, it was going to be good. He was going to take care of his sheep and feed his family. But this isn't home. He looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're not anxious for heaven, because we're trying to make heaven here on earth. And we need to recognize that everything on this earth is temporary. Listen to the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and start at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, listen to this, the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Have we traded the eternal for a bigger television? Have we traded the eternal for a more comfortable home, a fancier car, a bigger bass boat? We're not anxious for heaven because there's so much ahead of us here, and we want so much to do and to make life comfortable here. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we know that if our earthly house of this tent, this body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with the habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. And he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, and has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We're not anxious for heaven because we've fallen in love with the campground. We've decided, I want to stay here a little longer. I want to enjoy the misery of this life a little more. This earth can't satisfy. It never will. The book of Ecclesiastes in our Old Testament is Solomon's diary. It is Solomon's writing about his search for happiness. And he tries wine and women and song and fortune and everything he can think of to make himself happy. And his conclusion over and over in the book of Ecclesiastes is, all is vanity. And he finally ends up by saying, the conclusion of the whole matter is, fear God, keep his commandments. Happiness is elusive. Happiness is not always available to us. And if we do find some moment of happiness, it doesn't last. We can watch a funny TV program and we can forget about all our troubles, but the TV program goes off and our troubles are still there. This earth can't satisfy. No matter how much we try. I read some time ago, you may remember several years ago, was the movie The Titanic. And the story was told about a woman who wanted to go on that maiden voyage on the Titanic. She saved up her money. She bought beautiful gowns and jewelry because there would be gala events every night and get to eat with the captain and, you know, all the luxury balls and so on that were on that luxury liner. And so she got her ticket, and she got on board the Titanic. And then, you know, it hit the iceberg. And as the ship was sinking, the message went out for all the women to go to their cabin and get what valuables they could carry and get in the lifeboat. She went to her cabin, and she came back with 3 apples and 2 oranges. All of a sudden, all those gowns and jewelry weren't worth a plugged nickel. All of a sudden, she had realized that this earth isn't going to satisfy. That somehow, all of the things that she thought she had treasured and valued just weren't there. We're not anxious for heaven, but I believe we ought to be. Let me give you one more to think about, and then I'll move to the positive side. I had someone say to me, actually a member of the congregation where I was preaching at the time, it came up to me and said, I know heaven's a wonderful place, but it just seems to me like heaven is going to be one long church service. Actually, he said, one long, boring church service. I don't know if that was an indictment on my preaching or not, but his view of heaven was, all we're going to do is sit around and Brother Penny's going to lead us in a few songs, and somebody's going to get up and preach, and you know, Paul preached till midnight, and then there's Peter, and there's James, and there's John, and eventually Tim and Manley are going to get their shot, and it's going to be just one long preaching, singing, praying service forever and ever and ever. And our view of what heaven is distorted. Several years ago, I developed a sermon on this subject, and I titled the sermon, Heaven Would Be Hell. I want you to think about it. If you don't like to sing now in our worship service, you're not going to like it if you got to heaven. Because in heaven, they're going to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. If you don't like singing now, you're going to be miserable when you get there. Heaven would be hell if you don't like to sing, if you don't like to pray, if you don't like to talk with God, if you don't like to spend some time thinking about spiritual matters. If you don't enjoy those things for an hour or so now, you're not going to be happy in heaven. You're going to be miserable. The fact is, heaven is a place of joy. It's where God is. It's where Jesus is. It's where all of the redeemed will be. And that's why I want to go there. Whether it's tonight or whether it's 10 years from now, I want to go there. And I hope that you do too. Let me flip the coin over for a minute. Why shouldn't we be anxious to go to heaven? And let me suggest a couple of reasons. Number one, we ought to be anxious for heaven because that's the only way you're ever going to enjoy this life here on earth. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, you may be familiar with the passage, he was in a struggle whether to die or to live. And he said, I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now, Paul was not suicidal. He wasn't having a death wish. He said in that same section of Scripture, if I live, I'm more needful for you. I'll keep preaching. I'll keep doing what I can for the cause of Christ. But if I died right now, I'd be with Jesus. And that'd be a whole lot better. Remember, Paul was writing the Philippian letter from a prison cell in Rome, awaiting his execution. And if he died that night before he finished the letter, it'd be fine with him because he'd be with Jesus. The only way we can be content and happy on this earth is to know that this earth isn't the final, that this is just a passing through place. We need to be content with what we've got. In chapter 4 of Philippians and verse 11, Paul said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Are there things we'd like to get? Are there other things we'd like to buy? New TVs, new appliances, a boot, new car, a better house? There's always those things. But all those things are temporary. We can't take them with us. Someone has observed, you never see a hearse with a U-Haul. You're not going to take it with you. All that you have acquired and accumulated here is going to stay here and will melt and burn up. Let me see if I can illustrate that in a way that maybe you can understand. Many years ago, when people traveled more by train than they do now, a young boy, about 10 or 12 years old, was being put on a train to travel to visit his grandparents for summer during the summer vacation from school. But his parents warned him, now when you get on the train, put the suitcase in that rack right over your head and keep an eye on it because there's thieves on the train and they will steal your suitcase. So he put his suitcase right up over his head, and anytime anybody walked by, he looked up and checked to make sure the suitcase was still there. But it got night, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, the rumble of the rails, and he started getting sleepy, and he'd sort of nod off, and he'd jerk, and he'd look up to make sure the suitcase was still there. I don't know exactly when it was, somewhere in the night, he fell asleep. It may have been for 5 minutes. It may have been for 2 minutes, but he fell asleep. And suddenly the train jerked and he looked up and his suitcase was gone. And he said, thank goodness, now I can get some sleep. As long as we have that attachment to the things of this life, we're going to miss out on the happiness of what we're looking for. We're going to miss out on the joy of eternity. The only way to enjoy life on this earth is to learn that everything we've got is temporary. And then we can appreciate it and use it and enjoy it. Number two, we need to be anxious for heaven because that's what will keep us alert and ready. Over and over, Jesus used the phrase, watch, be alert, be ready. In the book of 1 John, chapter 3, John wrote in verse 2, beginning, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. It is the hope that I get to be with Jesus that keeps me straight. It is the hope that I will one day be with Jesus that keeps me behaving right. If I'm anxious for heaven, that's more important than cheating someone or lying or misbehaving in some other way. I'm going to behave because if I have this hope of heaven, then I'm going to keep myself right. I'm going to keep myself pure. It is your hope of heaven that will keep you pure. It is your hope of heaven that will keep you away from sin and temptation. And every time a temptation comes up and raises its head, you will know there is a clear choice. I can succumb to the temptation or I can head for heaven. I'm headed for heaven. John says, this is what will keep you pure. If you have the hope of heaven in front of you. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 12 that we run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Keep your eye on the goal. Know where you're headed. Now I know what's happened to you like it's happened to me. We're driving along in the car and there's something out in the field that attracts my attention. And I look off to see how many cows are out there or what the horses look like. And guess what? The car starts drifting off the road because I wasn't keeping my eye on where I was going. You know what gets us into trouble? When we don't keep our eye on Jesus. But let me suggest we should be anxious for heaven because that's our motivation for reaching the lost. Not only do I want to go to heaven, I want you to go. I want you to be there with me. Paul wrote in the Philippian letter that his joy and his crown was to be with you at the day of Jesus. Not only does Paul say, I want to be there, I want to see you there. And that was his anticipation. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3 in verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How many people are asking about the hope they see in us? You say, well, nobody's asked me about my hope. Maybe it's because they haven't seen hope in us. Maybe it's because if they don't see us living any different than the rest of the world, we're struggling with the same things everyone else is struggling with. Where is our hope? What makes us a level above? Because we're headed somewhere else. This world isn't home. I'm headed for heaven. Our motivation for reaching the lost is to have that hope of eternal life. And if we have that hope that is in us, then people will see it. And when people see that we have a hope of eternal life, they'll say, "How do I get that?" Our motivation for reaching the lost so others can go to heaven with us. Are you anxious for heaven? We talk about it, and like the little boy in the Bible class, yeah, I want to go someday, but if you're getting up a load right now, I don't want to go. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In a moment, we'll be singing an invitation song that asks you to think about your life. It will end. This world will end. And you will face eternity. Are you ready for heaven? Are you anxious to go there, to be with God and Jesus and the angels and all of the saints of ages past? If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, tonight is an opportunity for you to do that. Come confessing your faith in Christ. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. The blood of Christ will wash your sins away. God will add you to his family. He'll write your name in the book of life. And heaven can be your goal and your home. If as a Christian you've allowed the things in this world to interfere with your goal of eternal life, it's time to come back and say,